Father, as we come into your presence this morning, we just invite your spirit to speak into each of our hearts. Show us the incredible gift that you've given us and conform our lives into the life of Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, the British first landed on the Indian subcontinent in the early 1600s. And over time, over 150 years, they slowly began to expand their territory, culminating in the Battle of Plassey in 1757, which marked the beginning of British rule in India. Now, what was remarkable is that it was their military power that enabled them to achieve what they did. And it was so great that one Indian observer wrote this about Britain. He said, "That nation of hat wearers," and that's what the British were called, "have no equals in the art of firing their artillery and musketry with both order and rapidity. Such an incessant rain of balls and bullets and such a hot, endless firing caused the spectators themselves to be amazed and confounded." Now, the British Empire's expansion didn't end there. By 1913, the empire included now 412 million people, and it occupied a land area of about 14 million square feet, which is about a quarter of the land area. And there's been no empire in the world that's ever controlled so much land and so many people at one time. Now, as powerful as the British Empire was, it ultimately came to an end, just as all human kingdoms will eventually fall. But the kingdom of God will last forever, and it will eventually expand to every corner of the earth. Its power doesn't come from military might, but its power comes from a different source. It's the Spirit of God. And today we're going to continue our sermon series called The Kingdom of God is Here. And so when Jesus began his earthly ministry, he was announcing that the kingdom of God was now available to human beings, that we were being invited to be part of this kingdom. And over the last 2 weeks, we've seen that this kingdom represents the realm of where God's will is perfectly carried out and where its citizens live in complete allegiance to their king. Everyone who puts their faith in the king are incorporated into the kingdom and are given access to its power on earth, as we will see. Now, we're going to be looking at several different verses today, but we will be looking definitely at Acts chapter 8, verses 8 through 25, and Matthew 12 through 22, if you want to put your hands there. But I'm just going to be sort of taking you through a tour of several different New Testament passages today, so just be aware of that. And we're actually beginning with Mark chapter 6. Now, in Mark 6, a large crowd had gathered to hear Jesus teach. And as they ended the day, the disciples, you know, we're looking at the crowd, and they realize, you know, these people are hungry. And he said, Jesus, go. You send them home so that they can get something to eat. But Jesus looked at them, and he said to them, "You feed them." And so what did they do? Well, they looked at what they had. And as they saw that they, you know, just had a few crumbs of bread and fish, it's like, we can't feed them. The crowd is too big. And then Jesus told them what to do, and 5,000 were fed. So what was the object lesson for the disciples? What was he teaching the disciples? Was it merely demonstrating, oh, look what I can do? Is that what he was doing? No, because remember the question that he asked or said to them. The request was, you feed them. You feed them. He was showing them the power of the kingdom of God available on earth at that moment in his coming. And this power had been continuously available up to that time only in heaven. But now that kingdom was available on earth. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in kingdom." And we're asking that the territory of God's rule would be expanded on earth in the same way that it already exists in heaven. What we often don't realize is the reality of God's rule is available to us now. It's not just something in the future, although its full consummation will not be until the future. The availability of the kingdom means that God is present here and now, ready to release his power in our lives as we put our trust in him. And as we grow in our faith, we are meant to depend more and more on the reality of his power that comes from his Spirit. Now, the moment we become followers of Jesus, the kingdom of God is made available to us. And that's why Jesus could send the 72 out in Luke chapter 11 and say, "Now you go, heal the sick, and proclaim the kingdom of God." They were expected to have faith in him and his kingdom to heal people. Now, in the kingdom of God, there's no lack of resources. And therefore, no matter the state of our lives, we find hope when we align ourselves with Jesus. Now, you remember how the Sermon on the Mount begins? The Sermon on the Mount begins with the famous Beatitudes, right? And he said that eight people in particular are blessed. These are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, the word blessed is a statement that a person is in good situation or fortune. It affirms the fortunate quality of that person in the present moment. But why are these people blessed, right? You know, these are not people that we'd ordinarily think of as being blessed, would we? Indeed, these are the kinds of people that the world in general would just dismiss as losers and wimps, right? Now, in the chapter immediately prior to that, and that's Matthew chapter 4, it says that Jesus went throughout Galilee proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And then in verse 24 of chapter 4, Matthew, they brought him the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed with demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and healed them. Were the sick blessed that day? Yes, right? Were those afflicted with various diseases and pains blessed? Yes. Were those oppressed with demons blessed? Yes. Why? Because the kingdom of God had come upon them, right? And it brought them healing. And so the people in the Beatitudes are types of the members of the crowd who had been touched by Jesus. They are illustrations drawn for the immediate context to show the present availability of the kingdom of God through personal relationship with Jesus. They are proof that in Jesus, the rule of God is truly available in life's circumstances that are beyond human hope. And in effect, the Beatitudes are a statement of the blessedness of everyone to whom the kingdom of God is made available. Everyone is blessed in God's kingdom, no matter who you are and no matter your circumstances. Now, in Matthew 12, our gospel reading this morning, Jesus healed a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. And the people witnessing this are utterly amazed, including the Pharisees. They knew that such supernatural power demanded a supernatural source, but they were not prepared to say that Jesus was from God. And so that left only one source available to them, the demonic, Satan. But in verse 24, Jesus clarified exactly where his power came from. He says, if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. It is by the Holy Spirit that Jesus did all these signs. And it's the presence of the Spirit that delineates the contours of the kingdom and gives it its power. You know, when we trust in Jesus and follow him as his disciples, we become citizens of the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 8, we read that Philip preached the good news of the kingdom of God in Samaria. And he did works of wonders of the sort that up to that point only the apostles had done. And in response, all these Samaritans put their faith in God and were baptized in the name of Jesus. However, the conversions were incomplete because the Samaritans had not received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And we're not told exactly why they had not received the Holy Spirit, but the Samaritans were not fully equipped to be citizens of the kingdom of God yet because they have not received the Spirit. Now, Jesus had told his followers the same thing back in Acts chapter 1, that he told them not to leave Jerusalem until they had been empowered from on high from the Holy Spirit. Now, the full conversion of the Samaritans came with their reception of the Holy Spirit when Peter and John laid hands on them. The Holy Spirit supplies the power of the kingdom of God, revealing truth, convicting and guiding our lives, healing and accomplishing acts possible only through the kingdom of God. The power of the kingdom is so absolute that it can stand against anything, even demonic power. Now, through his exorcisms, like the one in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus was demonstrating not merely the power of the Spirit, but he was providing a sign of something more far-reaching. The establishment of God's kingdom in the place of the kingdom of Satan. Now, the Pharisees couldn't grasp what they were observing. They had convinced themselves that Jesus was not divine, and so they accused him of operating under the power of Beelzebul, another name for Satan. But Jesus' exorcism, far from being a collusion with Satan, represented a direct attack on Satan's kingdom. Satan, although the god of this world, had now met his match in the coming of Jesus. But there's one thing that will stifle the kingdom of God. And we need to be aware of this. There's one thing that will stifle the power of the kingdom. And that is unbelief. Some of you might remember in the 1940s, the radio adaptation of Superman described his supernatural power this way. Faster than a speeding bullet. See, I know, there's somebody. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bus. See, look at all of you. Superman was more powerful than anything, right? Except for one thing. And one thing would completely cripple his power. And that's the presence of kryptonite. In the presence of kryptonite, Superman became powerless. And similarly, in the presence of unbelief in the Lord, the power of the Spirit vanishes. You know, every human being, no matter who you are, perceives the darkness of our world. You know, whether or not you know the Lord or not, everyone perceives the darkness of our world. And that's the reason that thousands of students are protesting at U.S. colleges and campuses throughout the country right now. They see darkness and they yearn for light. But that light will not be found in changing the investment portfolios of universities. It will only be found when the kingdom of God comes. If you want the power of God's kingdom to be released on earth, you have to embrace the King. But as John said in his gospel in the third chapter, the light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light. And we see this plainly in Acts chapter 8. So when the Samaritans came to faith, so did a magician named Simon. And Simon believed, and he was baptized. He did all the right things. And then he saw the Holy Spirit being released when the apostles laid hands on them, and he coveted that power for himself, offering the apostles money if they would bestow upon him that same power. Simon's envy revealed that he had not given up his love for power and the attention he gained from doing magic. He didn't love the King. He simply wanted its power. And in response, Peter rebuked Simon and described his spiritual state this way. His heart is not right with God. Filled with bitterness at the success of Philip's preaching and the ability of the apostles to confer the Spirit, he remained in bondage to iniquity, even though he professed faith in Jesus and had been baptized. You know, genuine conversion to the Lord entails a conversion of the heart. It's not just walking down an aisle. It's not just undergoing a ritual. It requires a conversion of the heart. We must renounce evil and embrace the things of God. Simon was still operating out of his old mindset. Even though he believed the message about Jesus and been baptized, his heart had not changed. He loved the same things he did prior to his conversion. And as a result, the power of the kingdom could not be released in his life. Lack of belief in the King and holding on to the wisdom of this world will always stifle the power of the kingdom. And the same was true with the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12. They attributed the power of Jesus to the demonic realm. They attributed the power of Jesus to demons. The coming of God's kingdom, which was the cause of so much joy for the onlookers, was treated as the very opposite in their mind. For the Pharisees, the power of the kingdom had turned their world upside down. It tore apart their tightly controlled world of tradition. Satan, therefore, had to be behind it. Because only Satan would destroy their traditions. The Pharisees' accusation of complicity with the devil was not only offensive, but it was intended to destroy Jesus' credibility in the eyes of God-fearing people, making it an unforgivable sin. The Pharisees were guilty of a complete perversion of spiritual values, revealing a decisive choice to be on the wrong side between good and evil and Satan and God. Denial of the King will always suppress the power of the kingdom of God. And that's where we come in. You know, as disciples of Jesus who put our faith in Him on the earth at this moment in time, we carry with us the kingdom of God wherever we are. So no matter how bleak the situation looks, no matter how horrible it looks, we carry with us the power of the kingdom of God if we're His disciples and we believe in Him. We are bringing in something supernatural into every situation. We are bringing something that is more powerful than the power of Satan on earth. And therefore, in every hardship, every hopeless situation, everything that we might experience, we invite the King to bring his resources of comfort and healing. The kingdom of God is here if you believe. Nothing in life then will ever seem the same anymore, but an opportunity for the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you for who you are. And we praise you that through your Son, Jesus, you have given us a kingdom that is more mighty than any kingdom on this earth, a power that is more powerful than anything on this earth. For those of us who have put our faith in you this day, give us a revelation of how great that power is. Give us a revelation of the resources that are now available to us, which are greater than what we could possibly imagine. Free us from whatever oppresses our lives. We truly can say, just as Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," because your power is greater than whatever it is that seeks to oppress our lives. Lord, use our lives to bring light to a dark world. And we pray this in Jesus' name.